Well, in 1996, at a time when Barack Obama was on the verge of getting into politics, he wasn't there yet, famed photographer Mariana Cook took pictures and interviewed him and his wife Michelle for her book called Couples, Speaking from the Heart. The pictures didn't make it into the final copy, and they were filed away, if you can believe it. But now they're being pulled out, dusted off, and one of them is currently in the New Yorker magazine. You betcha. Mariana Cook joins us now in the studio. She's here with me with her story. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Well, don't you wish at this point in your 2020 hindsight that you had used those pictures of young Barack and Michelle Obama in the book?
I'm sure the publisher wishes.
I'm sure they do, too.
They certainly belonged in the book, and I wish they'd been in it.
How many photos of the now of the incoming first couple do you have?
I have one of him alone and one of them together. I shoot quite a few roles to end up with the final one, but I don't have any outtakes. I work very specifically, and in the course of a portrait session, it builds to a moment when everything comes together, and then it often fades away, or there's a different rhythm to a session. So I always say if a session is successful, there's one image, and if it's not successful, then you have six to choose from.
Well, how was it that you came to them? He wasn't in politics yet. He wasn't famous. Neither was she. So how were you introduced? How did you choose them?
I wish I could remember who actually recommended them. I have always photographed intellectuals and a lot of artists, writers, people in academics, people who think. I like that. And they were in that milieu, certainly. They lived in Hyde Park in Chicago, well-educated. And so they would have been in my wider circle.
Did you notice anything? Did anything strike you, or were they just an up and coming couple that you thought were thinkers and a good photo? Did you notice anything that really struck you?
Well, they were very related to the world around them. I mean, I asked him what he would do if he got into politics, and he actually gave me an answer, which I could read to you if you're interested.
Very interested.
I asked him, what do you hope to accomplish when you enter political life? Because he was about to run for the state Senate. So keep in mind that this had to do with being in a state Senate. My overriding vision is driven by children and what I see happening to children. And as an African American, I end up being concerned about children in the inner cities and what is happening to them, and the complete lack of any kind of stable framework in which they can grow and develop. A lot of that is determined by economics and the life chances and opportunities that they face or their parents face. A lot of it has to do with values, things like family values that are talked about all the time and bandied about by politicians. But I think values aren't just individual. Values are collective. Children learn values from what they see around them. And if they see that their parents' lives are not valued, or that their community is not valued, if their schools are falling apart and their streets are falling apart and their homes are falling apart and people's lives are falling apart because they don't have jobs or opportunity, then it's very hard for children out of thin air to create values for themselves that can sustain them. And so I think that my priority is to restore a sense of public values or collective values to the debate. And that means recognizing that we are one big family, and that across racial lines and across class lines, that we have mutual obligations and mutual responsibilities. Maybe that's where the public and the private meet when it comes to couples or relationships or families or tribes, that the overriding priority in all those associations is a sense of mutual responsibility and empathy, then being able to put yourself in another person's shoes. That's how the marriage between Michelle and me sustains itself. We can imagine the other person's hopes or pains or struggles, and we have to extend that beyond just the individual families to other people.
Well, he says similar things when he gets a chance even now. But I want to ask you quickly about the physical image of Barack Obama and the physical image of the presidency, because it's such an important part of the presidency, the photograph, the television image, the still image that reaches the public. He's a master of that image, and we're starting to realize how well he presents himself and his family, how well he's photographed, and that he knows how to present himself on a set. As someone who's behind the lens looking at him, what do you think the power of that is? And is he as good at it as I as I seem to think he is.
Well, I would disagree with you, in fact.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's natural. I don't think it's calculated.
Well, that makes him lucky then, doesn't it?
He's lucky. I mean, yes. He's very comfortable in his own skin. I don't think too many people in the world are. And so that's something he doesn't actually have to think about or worry about. I really don't believe that it's calculated in any way.
Even in events like in Denver at the convention where he put himself in the center of a stadium and stood tall all alone, even gave his speech without his family by his side, it was very... cult of personality is going too far, but it was an image of the personality in the man, very much so.
Yeah, I'm sure he thinks about what would be appropriate in any given situation to make the most of that situation, but may not been appropriate for him to have his family there. Maybe he didn't want them to have that experience.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Well, Marianna Cook, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for coming in, and we look forward to seeing your photo from 1996 of a pre-political Barack Obama. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.